Job 32. So these three men cease to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Read at the end of chapter 31 that Job ceases speaking. And we were all rather sort of relieved, really, I think, that all the endless debate, which was going nowhere, has finished. Then the wrath of Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was kindled against Job. His wrath was kindled because he justified himself rather than God. And his wrath was kindled against his three friends, because they had found no answer, and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job, because they were older than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was kindled. Well, what are we to make of Elihu? I think that the book of Job is like a play, but it's a play for voices. And at this point, we've all rather forgotten what the arguments in detail really were of all the three friends. They've said so much, and, you know, people who weren't reading the text, because most people who have been believers have been illiterate, they've not been able to read, they didn't have access to the actual text of the Bible, they would rather forgotten now at this point, well, what were all the arguments of whoever? So I think that Elihu functions to kind of summarise what they're saying, and to summarise also Job's position, and that's why he is critical of both the friends and of Job. But when he's critical of Job, he's actually picked up on this when God himself appears, because after Elihu finishes, then God himself appears and seems to criticise Elihu, does not agree with all that Elihu has said, and God justifies Job. So, Elihu says, "I'm young and you're very old, therefore I held back and didn't dare show you my opinion. I said days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in me, and the breath of the Almighty gives understanding. It is not the great who are wise, nor the aged who understand justice. Therefore I said, listen to me, I also will show my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I listened for your reasoning while you searched out what to say. I gave you my full attention, but there was no one who convinced Job or who answered his words among you." So this is one of the themes of the book of Job, that traditional wisdom doesn't have the answers. And in fact, we'll see that Elihu doesn't really either. Although, first of all, we're all ears. Yep, that's right, what you say. They haven't really answered Job. So let's hear what God says. But no, this isn't God. This is Elihu. And when he's finished speaking and he's not completely convincing in what he says, and as I say, I think he's really summarising their arguments and also criticising Job, well, then God himself speaks. And by the time we're through with Elihu, we really are ready to hear God's voice. So I think the idea is that traditional wisdom does not have the answers. And to just say, yeah, well, this is what our fathers thought, this is what is generally accepted in society and in thinking. No, this is not the way. We need to hear the voice of God. So all this rather painfully complicated reasoning that's going on is going to lead us up to God himself speaking. He says, "Beware lest you say, we have found wisdom. God may refute him, not man. For he has not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches." They were amazed. They answered no more. They didn't have a word to say. "Shall I wait because they don't speak, because they stand still and answer no more? I also will show my part." So Elihu is giving his opinion, really, but he is going to say that he's speaking on behalf of God. But that's what they all seem to imply. "I am full of words," Elihu says. "The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my breast is as wine which has no vent. Like new wineskins, it's ready to burst. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer." Well, you hear this quite often, that both the friends and Job say this sort of thing, that I've just got to say this. Oh, I'm bursting to say this. I just absolutely have to say this. You weren't right. I've got to say something. By the time Elihu's finished, and I don't think we're going to find Elihu completely convincing, although he has much promise to start with, much fanfare about "I'm going to give the answer," we are really ready for God to speak. We want to hear God's perspective. And this is how life goes, that we do get disillusioned with maybe church teachers or with society or with people we thought were our friends or the elders as we thought them, and we just don't get the answers. But that doesn't mean you turn away from God. It means you turn to God personally. So he goes on and says, I will not respect anyone's person, neither will I give flattering titles to any man. I don't know how to give flattering titles, or else my Maker would soon take me away. So as I say, he gives a lot of fanfare, a lot of introduction, that I am just going to tell it as it is. But as I say, I don't think we're going to find him ultimately persuasive. We need the voice of God, which is what you finally get towards the end of the book.